Speaking of planetary science, what goes around comes around, right? Planets orbit, comets come around for a return visit, galaxies, all billions and billions of them, rotate or expand in this constantly moving universe. That's how it works in the cosmos, and that is how it works on television, apparently, where this weekend, a comet of science and entertainment will make a return visit from a long hiatus. Cosmos 2014, the new television series.
This is the cosmos. A network of 100 billion galaxies. And it's the greatest story science has ever told.
An exuberant astrophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson, host of Cosmos 2014, which will revisit the passion and evangelical energy of the late Carl Sagan about science, about the unknown, and about humanity's quest for understanding what Tyson called there the greatest story ever told, with some sophisticated production values, mind you. In many ways, the return of the Cosmos series is the return of the intellectual comet, Carl Sagan. He believed that the future was all about understanding science, and we wonder what he would make of the world today. Would he go on Jimmy Fallon as much as he went on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson? What would he make of seeing so many of the benefits of science everywhere around us, from digital tools to the much more sophisticated science fiction movies of today to real educational initiatives like the online Khan Academy and the just-announced World Science University from young cosmologist and Columbia professor Brian Greene?
When you learn things, you're always trying to build in your mind some visual imagery of abstract ideas. That's the challenge of learning science. And if we can provide rich visualizations that allow the student to enter the strange world of the quantum, or the strange world of moving fast, or the strange world of general relativity where gravity is strong, wow, then all of a sudden you get it in your bones, and that's very different.
What would Dr. Sagan make of our different world today? Would he feel better about our educational system than he did in this interview with our PRI colleague and Science Friday host Ira Flatow back in the summer of 1996?
Something dreadful happens to students between first and 12th grades, and it's not just puberty. The interest in science, which is there in first grade, is somehow beaten out of them by 12th grade. And I think part of it is that there are adults who are nervous about being asked penetrating questions by young people, and so they give off-putting answers. You know, why is the moon round? Well, what did you expect it to be? Square? Instead of encouraging the child, it's a deep question, why is the moon round? It can get to the nature of gravitation, of central forces, the strength of materials. There's so much in there if you wanted to pursue it. And likewise, all those other wonderful questions that kids ask. Why do we have toes? What's the birthday of the world? How deep could you dig a hole? And so on. Every one of those is an aperture to exciting children, their natural aptitude and interest in science, exciting that, and encouraging them not necessarily to be professional scientists, but to be citizens who have a responsible role in dealing with science. We have a society based on science and technology, and at the same time have arranged things so that almost no one understands science and technology. That's a prescription for disaster as clear as anything.
The late Carl Sagan's legacy has been to be a scientific mentor for the world, inspiring generations of young scientists, including Brian Greene and new Cosmos host Neil deGrasse Tyson. Dr. Sagan certainly inspired me. How about you? Who is your Carl Sagan science mentor today? Do you have a Sagan story from years ago? You'll hear more from some of those behind the making of the new Cosmos program in the coming days on The Takeaway. Our number is 877-8-MY-TAKE. And all of the billions and billions of you out there should send us a tweet, too. Just use the hashtag SaganStory.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.